Well, every once in a while, I'm kidding, it probably happens every day, but miracles occur. And little Bub up there, he said, Pastor, do you have your Bible verses for the sermon today? I said, I sure do. They're in there. And there was one passage, and he looked at me like I had three heads. And I said, I know, last week I had about 10 places, and I said everybody was flopping their Bibles as fast as they could get there, and so we're going to be in one place this morning. But I have learned in my 31 years of being with Jesus, I've learned that you can hang on every word. Every word. The Bible says that man does not live on bread alone, but we live off of every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so it's important for the believer to know what God has to say. And we find those things in the Word. So go with me now to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to begin to read at verse 18. And it says, once when Jesus was praying in private, and I'm going to stop right there. It says, when Jesus was praying in private. And I want to tell you that Jesus had a prayer life. He had a prayer life. And what does that tell us? That tells us that if Jesus himself prayed, it's all the more important for us to pray. So many people will try to make prayer complicated, but prayer is not complicated. Prayer is a conversation with God. It is not a wish list. It is not a problem list, although it can be, but it doesn't have to be. But prayer is communication with God. And we see here in the Word where Jesus was praying. And prayer is essential for your life. It's absolutely essential. And I've learned, and I'm still learning, to pray about everything. To pray about everything. Why? Because everything could go wrong. Amen. You ever been going through life and it seems like everything's fine, and then all of a sudden it's like somebody turned on a problem switch and you got nothing but problems? That's why the Word of God says, pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. And we see here in the Word where Jesus prayed. A while back, a lady here from church, she's not with us today, but she called and she said, Pastor, I've got a real problem. I am expecting a very important piece of mail, and I have to have it today. And I have missed the FedEx people, and I've got to have that today. And I thought, okay. And I have learned this right here. There are times where someone may ask you to pray, or there's times when you are praying, and maybe you don't exactly have those words. Maybe you don't know what to pray. And so, Angel, as I begin to pray in my heart when I was talking to this lady, I began to say, God, you tell me what to pray. Because I don't know what to pray. I don't know whether to say, stop the FedEx guy dead in his tracks, or, Lord, make the letter appear. I don't know. And so as I began to pray, I said, Father in heaven, I ask you right now to put this FedEx person right in her path. And God, I ask you, Lord, to let this happen in 30 minutes. Now, I don't hardly ever put time frames on God until he tells me to. But I heard him clear as day say, ask me to do this in 30 minutes. Now, so I prayed that, and then I just hung up the phone, and I didn't really think anything else about it. Because once you pray, once I pray, I've handed that off to God. Now, in your life, when you're praying and you've handed that off to God, there's times where a worry or a concern could come back to your heart. Let me tell you, pray about it again. Pray about it again. Pray about that thing until you get a very firm peace about the situation. Once you get that peace about it, begin to thank God for it. Why? Because now faith is the evidence of things not seen. Thank God for the thing that you're praying for that you can't see yet. So she called me back in 15 minutes. And she said, "You're never going to believe what just happened." I said, "Well, what happened?" And she goes, "I was driving in town and literally the FedEx worker pulled out right in front of me." She said, "And I started honking." She goes, "He pulled right over and I got my mail." Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying that God's going to answer all your prayers in 30 minutes. So those of you that heard that, unhear that part, because that is not what I said. But what I'm saying is that you need to have a prayer life. And you need to pray. And when God answers your prayer, that shouldn't be a big shock to you, because prayer answering is what God does. But pray and pray effectively. The Word of God says, "The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Amen. Availeth much. What does that mean? That it'll stand up. There's prayers that you can pray that'll stand up when everything's going wrong. So a couple weeks ago, actually about a week ago, I got up. It was a Saturday. I know this is going to sound crazy, but very rarely do I want to do anything with my fingernails, because I am a rough little gal. I handle a bunch of food all the time, and I'm constantly picking up things, slamming things, knocking things around. So Kayla, I'm not too concerned about my fingernails. Now, my toenails are a different story, but I felt like God was saying, "Kelly, get your nails done today." I was thinking, "Well, thanks, Lord. I mean, I'm not really in the mood for the nails, but I mean, if you insist, I guess I'll see if the girl can get me in." I wasn't even wanting to do that, Rocky. I thought, she ain't going to be able to get me in. I messaged her. I said, "Is there any way you can just paint my nails, put something on there that'll stay for longer than a day?" Said, "Well, sure, just come right on down." I was there for 2.5 hours. Frank thought somebody had kidnapped me.
Glory to God.
And I was sitting there thinking, "All right, God, what the heck am I doing here?" Is it you? God ever got you into something and you're thinking, "What am I doing here?" And I was just sitting there, and yeah, I only have 10 toes and 10 fingers. This little chick, she was just doing my nails. And as she began to talk, I began to understand what the heck I was doing there. And after the whole thing was over, I said, "You know what? This sounds like you got some real heavy things going on with your family. And we're going to pray right now."
Amen.
"We're going to pray right now."
Amen.
To my knowledge, she doesn't go to church. That's irrelevant to me. Said, "I want your hands. Put them in my hands." And I took her. Why? Because the Word says, "Where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I'll be right in the middle of them."
Amen.
Took her by the hand. She was concerned about her son. She had not heard from him in a very long time. I took her by the hand and I said, "In Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over her. I plead the blood of Jesus over this heart that's concerned about her kid. God, I'm asking you, by the time this weekend is up, I'm asking you to make it to where her son calls her so she can stop worrying about her adult son."
Yep.
Got out of there, called Frank. I said, "Now, I know that I'm a very long-winded person, but this really did take 2.5 hours, okay? I'm on my way home now." Get home. Get propped up there in the recliner, started looking at my pretty toes and my pretty fingernails, and she texts me, "You'll never believe this, but he called."
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
What does the Word say? Once when Jesus was praying, prayer is the exercise for your soul. you should pray, and you should pray very often. You should pray on a daily basis. When something is troubling you, bothering you, irritating you, angering you, worrying you, stressing you, you should be praying. When you get on the road and you get in your car, you should be praying. When you head to work, you should be praying. Pray. Pray. Why? Because God is listening to what you're saying to Him. People say, well, God knows what's in my heart. Yeah, He sure does, and He's ready to hear what you got to say. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, He does. Why do we need to pray? Why do we need to speak those prayers? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. You need to speak the Word over your life. When it doesn't look good, you need to be praying what the Word says about your problem. So I'm going to continue on, and it says, once when Jesus was praying in private and His disciples were with Him, He asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? Jesus was interested in what people had to say who He was. Who do you say that He is? Who do you say that He is today for you? Who is He to you? Jesus, He asked Him, what do the crowds say about me? Who do they say that I am? We need to ask ourselves today, who is He to me? Who is He to me? Is He still the God that does miracles? Is He still the God that'll help me in the midst of addiction? Is He still the God that'll help me in the middle of a depression? Is He still the God that'll heal my finances, that'll heal my life, that'll put me back on the right track? Who is He to you? Because, see, that's what matters. Who is God to you? Is He somebody that you think lives in this church building? Because that's not right. He don't live here. Now, I've painted the walls, and we've made this look just as pretty as it's going to look for the time being. But make no mistake, God does not live here. He lives and breathes inside of you. Amen. And the Word says, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. Who do you say that He is today in your life? In your life. I was asking a gentleman that had lost his wife a couple months ago, and I was visiting with the family, and I wanted to get a good read on what they wanted me to say. It's very important when somebody passes away that the minister can speak healing, comforting words, and I wanted to make sure that we got that right. And I said to this person, I said, well, who was she to you? He said, well, she was everything to me. She was everything to me. And then he just broke down. And ever since I've heard him say that, Angel, I can't even get those. I can still remember how he said it. I can remember his voice cracking when he said it. And I left out of there with this in my heart, and I said, God, I want you to be everything to me. Who is He to you? Where are you at in your life? Are you in trouble? Are you in stress? Are you in agony? Are you in something that you feel like it is a permanent thing and you're never going to be able to get out of it? Who is God to you? Who is He to you? Another aspect that I want to bring out of here is he says, who do the crowds say that I am? You know, very seldom anymore do I sit around and worry about opinions of certain people. There's times where I'm like, okay, what do they have to say? But Tyler, the older I get and the more mature in God I get, I'm not as concerned. But what I will say is this right here. If you keep hearing the same things about yourself consistently, there may be some truth in a little bit of what people are saying. Who do people say that you are? Rocky, when I go to Walmart, I try not to go to Walmart in Paris sometimes because, well, sometimes I don't have my makeup on. I don't feel like being seen by people I know. I want to just be a person, and I want to go somewhere where nobody's going to recognize my ugly mug if I decide not to dress it up. But when I do go, people will look at me and they'll...
Glory to God. Preach, Pastor Wilbur.
And they'll say, are you that little pastor down there that feeds everybody? See, who do people say that you are?
Glory to God.
There was a family, and we established this church in 1987. And there was a family, a very prominent family in this community that did not like my family. How many of you know that not everybody's going to like you? Okay? Well, if you don't know that, then you better get to knowing it, because that's just the truth of the matter. That's right, Chicago.
Amen.
Chicago's back there going, I don't care. I love you so much, and I'm glad that you're back.
Amen.
There was this family, and they just didn't care for us. Why? Because we were just different. We're the first interdenominational ministry that came into Logan County.
Amen.
To stay.
Amen.
And they didn't like us. And I grew up knowing that they didn't like us. That's right. Well, I had developed a dislike for them. Now, can we just all be humans here today? Let's preach where we actually live. And if I can't preach about my own downfalls, then I shouldn't be preaching. Amen. I knew they didn't like us, and I didn't care for them. I know that's not right, but that's the truth.
It's
being honest. And God was dealing with me, and this is about 2 years ago, He was dealing with me about giving people a clean slate. And I felt like those people didn't like us, and they didn't have any reason to not like us, and it just kind of nicked me, just the thought of them not liking us. I thought, what is wrong with these people? Well, they got very sick. And at that time, the church had partnered with the state of Arkansas, and we were the only church in Logan County that the state gave us 1,000 COVID tests.
Amen.
And they trusted us to distribute those tests to the community. So then I became... Are you the little pastor that gives out COVID tests? I've lost my name, and now I'm just the person that's giving out this, that, or the other. So these people, Tyler, they messaged me. I about fell out. So I thought, I have never talked to these people. These people have never talked to me. I know they don't like me. They probably know I don't like them. And here we are. And they said, Pastor Kelly, do you have any of those COVID tests? We are all very sick. Now, you're going to decide to be a winner, or you're going to decide to be a loser, and that's just totally your call. I know that's rough preaching, but that is the truth. You're going to wake up, and you're going to decide that you're going to win in life. And you're going to be the head and not the tail, or you'll keep being in that loser mentality because you want to do that tit-for-tat stuff. And it's not fun, and it's not right. And I said, God, help me to give these people a clean slate because I don't know them, and they don't know me. And I said, you know what? Yes, I do have some of those COVID tests. First of all, I'm going to pray that you begin to feel better right now. But also, if you'll tell me how many people is in your family, they was all sick. the mama, the daddy, the grandparents, the babies, all of them. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to deliver them to your house for you. So you don't have to get out when you don't feel good.
Thank you, God.
And I remember taking those COVID tests, Brenda, walking up their steps to their nice house, putting those COVID tests on their doorstep. And in that moment, I said, God, in Jesus' name, give me power to do this. God, when my enemy is talking about me, help me to turn the other cheek like you told me to in your word. And God, as far as it concerns me, I'm going to live at peace with these folks. Guess what? They think I'm Mother Teresa now. They have forgotten why they don't like me and my family in this church. And on multiple occasions, they've messaged me and asked me advice on what to do at their church. What are we learning today? Life skills. Christian life skills. It's not going to be overcomplicated, but Tyler, we need to learn how to live and how to win for Jesus. How do we do that? We know in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. If we're not living in Him, if we're not moving in Him, if we don't have our being in Him, we're not. We're just simply not. And so, to read on, in verse 19, it says, they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. And in verse 20, but what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? Peter answered, the Christ of God. It's very important that we know this morning who He is to us. Who He is to us. Yesterday, I came into the church just for a moment. And as I was driving in, there were two guys working on the Manna Center. And every time that I drive past that little place, my pastor heart just swells so much because I'm just in absolute awe of what God can do. I'm just in awe of what He can do when you let Him. When you let Him. And I was coming in and these two guys, they were both on these real high ladders and they were working on some things and they both turned around on their little ladders and they just waved. And I said, you know, God, I couldn't even fathom what you was going to do. God, everything that I've ever given to you, just completely given it to you, you've just put your hand of favor on it. You know, we have to decide what we're going to give to God. And I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about your life. And your heart. What are you going to give to God? Everything that I've ever given to God in its entirety, Bobby, He has blessed it tremendously. I was praying last night, and I was asking God, God, give me your mentality. Give me your mind. Give me your heart. Help me to think like you would think. Help me to act like you would act. And I was reflecting and I told God, I said, God, you took a one refrigerator mentality and you turned it into what it is right now.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I remember thinking, if I can just get enough food for all these little precious single moms in the church, I will be happy. And I thought at that moment, Fran, that I'd be happy when I did that.
Hallelujah.
And I was happy. I remember having one refrigerator, and it was that white refrigerator back there. And I remember telling Patty, cram this refrigerator full. We're saving the rest of it for the church family.
Glory to God.
I don't even know how many more refrigerators we've got now. I don't even know how many freezers we've got, but we've got a lot of them. But I remembered back yet last night, I said, God, you took a one refrigerator mentality, and you've turned that into something else. My idea was for the single moms. God's idea was for the whole county.
Amen.
And it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing to me and my family. So we need to really pray and think about who is God to us. Who is God to us? The other day I was driving in the car with my little Coco. How many of you have had the honor of letting Coco pray for you? Does that not just touch you? When that kid goes to pray, and he'll pray some stuff, and he'll have you in tears just because he'll pray about things you ain't even told another person on the planet. The other day, I was driving with him. It was just me and him. We weren't even thinking or talking about nothing real significant, and he looked at me, and he said, Mama, now you know that that house is going to sell.
Amen.
But Mama, you're going to just have to be patient. I said, God, I don't even know where kids like this come from. But thank you for mine.
Amen.
Who is he to you? Who is he to you? I'll tell you who he is to me. I remember every time, there's been times in my life where I felt just totally alone. And one of the things that I know about God is that God is the one that's never really left me alone. He's never left. And that's who he is to me, Kayla. He's the God that's never left. When I get upset about things with people, when people hurt you, when they disappoint you, here's what I tell God. God, you're the one that has never done that to me. So we need to have a grasp on who he is to us. Verse 20, but what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. Verse 21, Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. There's going to be times in your life where you do some suffering. I got one yep and no amens. The Son of Man must suffer many things. There's going to be some times in your life that you do some suffering, that you do some hard things. Don't be afraid to do the hard things. Do them. Do those hard things. And be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. And then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me. Now, there is a difference between true believers and churchgoers. Do we all know that? I was talking with somebody about a year ago. And Brother Larry, I said, well, you know, I'm Pastor Kelly. Where do you go to church? I just asked him. God is my witness. He said, I go to that Paris Christian Center. I said, really? I'm the pastor down there. I don't think we've ever met. There's a difference. There's a difference between believers and just churchgoers. Now, are believers going to go to church? Yes. See, you have to live out the sermon. You got to live them sermons out. And on my roughest days, Sherry, my roughest days are when I have to live out my own sermons. Because they ain't easy. Because as much truth as I put out there is as much truth I got to live by myself. Yeah. Going to church and that's it won't get you anywhere. It won't even get you into heaven. But working it out day by day. Hallelujah. The Word of God says, now work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Work it out. There's going to be suffering that you do. There's going to be times that you go through things that you didn't like. But you've got to go through them, and they're going to make you who you are. I think back on some of the worst things that I've been through, and I'm thankful for them. How many of you have ever felt like that? At the time that you went through some things, they were uncomfortable and you didn't like them, but you can look back on them now and you're grateful. Me too. That's called growth. That's called growth. Back in the Word where we read, who do the crowds say that I am? This reminded me of my mother. You know, even a child is known by their reputation. How many of you have ever been somewhere with your kid? Well, let me rephrase this. When my kids were smaller, Kayla, there were other kids that I didn't want them to be around because I was praying to God to keep them away from being like that. Y'all get what I'm saying? You hate to just come out and say some things. But when I was a kid, I was the wildest kid you'd ever met. Brother Charlie's like, God, yes, she was. They called me the White Tornado. My hair was bleach blonde, Mitzi. And I would zip through that church just zippity-doo-dah, yay. Going all over the place. And Dad would tell the deacons, help me keep Kelly corralled. I was all over the place. And there's always been an anointing on my life, and some of that anointing comes from the help of my mother. Because my mom did something with me that a lot of moms will not do with their kid. She didn't put me in front of a TV. We didn't even have TV until I was like 7 or 8 years old. She didn't let the tablet babysit me. She encouraged me to be who I was. She never said, Kelly, can you not just be like your sister? She never did that. Now you listen to me, Kayla, because this is the important stuff of life. My mother would get me alone in the car, and she would hold my hand, and she would say, Kelly, I love who you are.
Hallelujah.
Kelly, just keep it in between the lines.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Angel, I was wild as heck. She just shaped that. She shaped it. She'd say, well, Kelly, What are we going to do today? She never was interested in trying to make me different, Angel. She just helped shape who I was. And if you've got grown kids and think that this don't apply to you, it sure the heck does. How many of you got grown kids? How many of you, they get on your nerves? How many of you worry about your grown kids? Your grown kids still need you. And speaking of a grown kid, for all you parents out there and you've got grown kids, let me just incline you. All of us dumb grown kids, we're just trying to figure it out. Just help us to do it. Just help us to do it. Me and Dad were eating at Subway the other day. He said, "I'd sure like to eat and be with you more." I said, "Dad, some days it's just not good for me to be around too many people." He said, "Okay." So, it says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. And if there's one thing that I can say that there's really a lack of, and it would be this verse, denying himself. Deny yourself. When is the last time you told yourself no about some of the nonsense you were trying to pull? Does anybody remember the last time you told yourself no? You gotta be able to tell yourself no.
Amen.
Deny himself. What does people say? Well, I don't know what God wants from me. Have you ever felt like that? I have no idea. What do you want from me? Well, go to the Word. Because if you're really going to follow God, this is what it's going to take. And he says it right in the Word. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. You hear all sorts of people doing all sorts of crazy stuff, and I guarantee you, if they would have just told their self no, their life would have been better. If they'd have just said, "No, self, we're not going to do that." There's times where I feel like doing so. How many of y'all, do you wrestle with your flesh like I have to wrestle with mine sometimes? I'm sitting there, and I'll feel exhausted just by wrestling with my own self. What am I doing, Johnny? I'm trying to get myself in line. And sometimes that's a full-time job. Frank. Sometimes he just throws that white flag in there and says, "Oh." But we got to be able to tell ourselves, no. No, we're just not going to do that. There's things that I've wanted to do. And Barbara, God just said, "Kelly, that's not the right thing for you to do." And I've just said, "Okay, I'm not going to do that." A little bit of time went by. And Angel, I could see why it wasn't a good thing for me to do. But to obey is better than sacrifice. And sometimes we don't know why God's telling us no. And sometimes we're going to have to really tell ourselves no about some things. And you've got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to deny yourself what you want and go with what God has for you. Case in point. Couple years ago, I said, "Dad, get up. We're going to go to an auction. They're going to auction off this church down the road." I said, "We may get it. The church may need another church. We may need another building. This food ministry is growing." We went. Kayla, I kind of wanted it, to just be honest with you. Me and Dad just stood there, and I just had a restraint come over me. Now, I like to shop. And God said, nope, that is not the building for you. Kelly, don't you step out of line and buy that building, because I'm not going to be with you if you do that. Okay. A week later, we applied for the Manna Center. Look here. I'm happy about that.
Hallelujah.
God will put us in the right direction.
Glory to God.
That building is being built correctly from the ground up.
Amen.
Amen.
One brick at a time, one board at a time. One everything at a time. Coco, we drove by here the other day, and Coco said, Mom, was the Manna Center supposed to be bigger? It was like just putting a little salt in the wound there for me. I said, well, yes, baby, it was. It was supposed to be 3,000 square feet, but it's really now 1,500. And he said, well, how do we feel about that? He talks like an adult psychiatrist. That's why God gave him to me. And I said, well, baby, I'll tell you how we feel about that. I said, here's what I've learned about the living God. For every season of your life, he will give you exactly what you need. I said, the Manna Center is exactly what it needs to be for this season. He said, well, what are we going to do there? I said, Coco, we are going to help people. And you don't have to have a mansion to do that. He said, well, what do we have to do it? I said, you got to have enough heart to just do what God tells you to do and leave the choice up to God. Leave it up to him. There was a lot of time over the past 2.5 years I was tempted to just be very concerned about, is this Manna Center going to happen? What's going to go? And you know what, Moni? Every time I would start to worry, God would remind me, Kelly, this was not your idea, so you don't have to have any concern about it. Just let me have full control over it. Let me have full control over it. What are we learning about today? Lots of different things can be found just in this passage. He must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily. Daily. What is the cross that you bear? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. Sometimes people get stuck in a place in their life and they just get complacent. They can't feel God. They don't talk to God. They're just numb inside. And that's a dangerous place to be. If you're in that today, you need to shake yourself and try to work through that. Take up your cross and follow me daily. What does that look like? Well, when you wake up in the morning, say, God, I know I've got all sorts of problems. Now, if he keeps it up, guys, we're going to have to bring him in there. She said, he's about to get a whooping. I'm going to just wait for you to bring him back there. Now, if that offends y'all, you're going to have to just get over that. Y'all remember when you had kids? Okay. Well, that's my godson over there. I remember taking him for his mama to have him. One time I had him over at my house, and I was watching him. And it had been a while since I had my little kids, and he peed all over me. He peed all over himself. He peed all over the couch. I said, how does one little kid have so much pee? I covered him up, and I thought, okay, it's over. Tyler, it wasn't over. He did it again. All over the place. But if you wait for the right moment for everything to be right, nothing's ever going to all be right. What does it really look like when we take up our cross and follow him? We say, problems. I may have a truckload of problems, but truckload of problems, we're picking up and we're going today, and we're going to follow God.
Amen.
What is pick up our cross daily? Brother Charlie is a very good example of that. He's been a deacon here for over 30 years, and here's what I can say about Charles. When he can be here, he will be here. I was saying in the deacon meeting today, when we decided that we weren't going to have service this morning, I said, you know what? There's something wrong with people these days. Because I remember when I was a kid, people were looking for every reason to be in church. I remember we used to have revivals, all sorts of stuff. You know, people just aren't hungry for that anymore. It's a shame, isn't it, Jill? People... In the summer, they said, Pastor, we really want you to do a Bible study. I said, I'm not doing a Bible study. They kept asking. And finally, I said, I'll do a Bible study if you promise that you're going to be at every single one of them. Because I wondered if people were really hungry for that. And you know what they were? There was a lot of people that came to those Bible studies. But people are looking for every reason to not come.
Amen.
I had somebody message me and they said, boy, the weather looks really bad for Monday. I don't think we should have church on Sunday night. Don't ever wonder why I'm about half crazy. Because I deal with a lot of personnel issues throughout the week that just leave me very away sometimes. But Brother Charlie,
yes.
Am I saying he's perfect? No. But here's what I can say about him.
Yes.
He's one of the most faithful people that I know. He has called me on the road to the heart hospital on his way to get admitted, didn't know if he was dying or not, and he would say, Pastor, I'm not going to be able to be there, but I'll be there Sunday. I'll be there Wednesday. I'll be there just as soon as I get out.
Hallelujah.
What does it really mean to follow God? It means to follow him despite everything else that's going wrong up in your life. People say, well, I'll wait to come to church till I get a new wardrobe. I don't have any nice clothes. I don't have any clothes to go to church. Well, you're just not ready. And you're just giving God your excuses. People got all sorts of reasons for why they are doing what they're doing and justifying what they're doing that's wrong. But to really follow God, you're going to tell yourself no, and you're going to deny yourself some of the things that you want that aren't good for you. You're going to make the choice to move on in your life and not be stuck.
Amen.
And it says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it.
Yeah.
But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Who are you out for? Are you always out for yourself? Whoever's looking to save their life all the time, they're losing it. Losing it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Can you lose your life in Jesus today? Can you get lost in who he is and what direction that he has for you? Can you get lost in him? Can you give up how you want it to be? Can you say what Jesus said, Lord, your will be done? Because you know what? Sometimes God's will and your will are two different things. And you're going to have an inner argument there. And you're going to have to work through it. And hopefully you go with what God has for you. Because that's the only way that anything works out for our good. Is when we go with what he has for us. When we go with what he has. I haven't always done that. But I can say that every time I've done what God had for me to do, Miss Mary, every ounce of favor was there. Every bit of it. For everything that was necessary. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Here's what I can tell you. Good deeds will not get you into heaven. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world? What good is it? And then lose your soul in the end. This is a verse that I use to keep myself in check. When I'm out there giving out food on Wednesdays or making food on Mondays or doing food boxes for food pantry appointments and all this stuff, Angel, I constantly tell myself, Kelly, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul, lose yourself? Sometimes we can keep ourselves so busy doing good deeds that we forget that our relationship with Christ is the most important thing. The most important thing, that's the most important thing that you'll ever do, is live out and walk out your life with Jesus. You know how many people on Judgment Day will say, but Lord, I fed the hungry. But Lord, I did this. But Lord, I gave out food on Wednesdays. But Lord, I wasn't a bad person. But Lord, I didn't go out and do this. You know what? It doesn't really matter all of that. What it matters is, were you walking and talking with him? Did you give your life to him? Did you work out your own salvation? What good will it do you to do all this stuff and then miss heaven? Amen. I was sitting at a funeral one time. Jeremiah, and people are so tacky at funerals. Have you ever noticed that? I never noticed it until I became a pastor, but I cringe at some of the dumb things that people will say. I was sitting behind some folks, and I was just happy as all get out that I wasn't having to do this particular funeral, but I was coming there in support of the family. And Missy, I got behind these people. And it's bad if I want to crawl under the pew. I got behind these people, and they started bad-mouthing the dead person. They said, I bet he didn't even go to heaven. And I was sitting there thinking, are you crazy? You know what, Angel? There's going to be people in heaven we never would have thought. Amen. And I can tell you this. There'll be people thrown into hell we'd have never thought. Yeah. Why? Because look here. You got to work it out down here. And if you think just because you're doing good things or that your life, you're not doing anything too terrible, unless you've got a real relationship with Jesus, don't mean nothing. You got to work it out and walk it out. If anyone is ashamed of me, in my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. You know how many people are ashamed to pray out loud? We had a kids' service a couple months ago, two, three, 4 months ago. And I was astonished at how at least half of our youth group had a major problem saying anything good about God. I have a problem with that. And it's up to all of us to fix it. Why? Because the Word says, if you're ashamed of me down here, I'm going to be ashamed of you up there. When testimony service, I always give people an opportunity to say something about God on Sunday night. Why? Because it's important to give people that opportunity. Now, I've regretted that a couple times because some people get up and say some of the weirdest things. But for the most part, I'm glad when we do it. But let me tell you something. Don't be ashamed of God. When I was growing up, I used to be mortified. My dad would pray for anybody, anywhere, at any time. And I was always embarrassed when he would start that up. And now, I am so thankful that I grew up with parents that were not afraid of Jesus or ashamed of Jesus. That's important. Coco will be in the house and he'll start praying and he'll say amen. And if you don't amen after his prayer, he'll say amen. If I'm busy doing something, and that kid, I have had moments with him where he will pray over every chip. And I'm trying to encourage his praying, so I'm like, yes, pray over every chip. Maybe he'll get tired and won't eat as many of them. I don't know. But he'll pray over every chip, and he'll say amen. If I don't say amen, very quickly he's going to say amen. I've been on the pot before. Amen. And I can hear him across the house. Amen. And I'll holler while I'm in the bathroom. Amen, Coco. Amen. Glory to God. Why? It's important that I'm not raising some kid that's ashamed of God. Amen. Why? Because Sherry, when he gets in a part of life where he's struggling and he's having trouble, I want him to be able to call on God. Amen. And not just sit there and be ashamed of his life and his background. Amen?
Amen.
So whoever is ashamed of me, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. And I'm going to stop right there. When I got here last night, I was thinking, Lord, what do I need to preach on? And he said, you know what? Just preach out of this passage. There's plenty of stuff. Right in there. You don't have to go to 10 different places. Just preach the word. And if you want to leave here with something, leave here with this. In the very first verse that I read to you this morning, it said, Jesus prayed, and he prayed privately. You need your prayer life. Your prayer life doesn't need to be stale. You need to pray. You need to pray a lot. Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. We've got some produce items back there, and there's also some things that we got from our Feeding America program from Walmart, maybe some clothes, or there's just all sorts of things. If you want it, Take it. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for every person that's been here today. Lord, I ask that you would protect us, keep us, bless us, and make your face shine upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.